We are finishing up our God's Rule Over the Nations, and I believe we're on page 264 in our book. This is lesson four. And last week we ended with question five, which is in the middle of page 264. We're not going to take the time to read through that long passage. Oops. In 2 Samuel, but just to briefly, I'm just going to go briefly over this question five in 2 Samuel. The question of why did God want Absalom to follow Hushi's advice, and it was to bring calamity upon Absalom. And actually, it was an answer to David's prayer in 2 Samuel 15 that David had prayed, where the advice of Ahithophel was as foolishness, so Absalom would follow Hushi's advice. So anyway, it was all in relation to how God is in control and rule over the nations and even in decisions that people make. What might be God's purpose in allowing rulers to make foolish decisions? And it could be to bring judgment upon themselves or even upon a nation. That God could allow those foolish decisions. And then, does God protect his people from the consequences of these poor decisions? And I would say not always. Sometimes he does, sometimes not, but not always. But it's also, remember, it's always for God's glory and for our good. I keep going back to that at the beginning of this book when he talked about trusting God. God's purposes are always for his glory and for our good. Even though we might not see it that way, it might not be revealed to us even on this earth in that way. We might not see it that way, but it's always for God's glory and our good.
And that's not easy.
It is not easy. We know it in our head, mm-hmm. but to believe it and to live that way, no, it's not easy. Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. So let's start then with question six at the top there of 265, and we're going to look at Daniel 9, 1 through 19, and should we go to the left? Carol, would you read those verses? And the question is, what was Daniel's response when he realized Israel's exile in Babylon was almost over? And then if we want to look ahead, Dolores, if you would look, the next question will be Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And then Carolyn, Revelation 7, 9 through 10. Just to get a head start on these verses here, so you can look those up.
Yeah, maybe that whole thing, 9, 1 through 19?
Please.
Okay. Still, I'm almost there. Okay. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord God, my God, and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us a great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like that, what has been done in Jerusalem. Thus it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring this disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought our people out of Egypt, your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and all your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor upon your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people hear your name. Bear your name. Sorry.
So Daniel's realizing that Israel's exile in Babylon is almost over when he prays this prayer. So what's his response here when he realizes this?
He saw the need to repent from their sins. He associated himself with the sins of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed fervently, and he sought forgiveness and remembered God's covenant with Israel, and he made supplication for his love and his mercy.
Yeah, with that fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, he humbled himself before the Lord. So prayer and humility, confessed the sin of the nation, prayed for his people. But like Sandy said, he identified with the people himself. He wasn't pointing fingers. He was identifying himself with them. As I was reading that this prayer, it's like this could very well be a prayer that we pray for our nation today, right?
Easily, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Line after line, it's just, all this calamity has come on 13, verse 13, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to thy truth. I mean, we keep taking God's truth out of schools, out of homes, out of public places, out of everything.
One at a time.
Yes, chip, chip, chip.
Something that I noticed in here, we've talked before about, but God... In here was a yet we.
Yet
we continue to
yes.
The other direction, or our own direction.
Yes. Yep. Yep. It's I think we're past a slippery slope. I mean, it's like it's a
landslide.
It is a landslide. It's an avalanche. It's yes. And yeah.
I've got several notes in here on prayer. Some from MacArthur. Never pray as if we are changing the will of God. We pray to line up our hearts with mm-hmm. His will, which is always to bless those who are obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote, we pray not because God needs our prayers to perform His will, because we need to line up with God's causes. When we see our sinfulness and the need of His grace and power, then we can submit ourselves to His plan. Prayer is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then unless we understand God's word, we cannot understand His purposes, plans, and of God in our govern, in order to govern and guide our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer should be generated by the word of God, grounded in the will of God, and characterized by fervency.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Those are good thoughts, good points. Yeah, it's not for God, it's for us, just to come to Him in humility and to worship. And Pastor Kevin even talked about it again today, how denying ourselves in Matthew 16, it was taking up our cross, submitting our lordship to Him.
It's kind of neat, though, that there is some signs of revival in our country.
Mm.
And I'm excited about that.
Yes.
But that also could mean, you know, that we need that because we're coming toward the end and we need to be judged.
Yeah. Okay, so what is promised in the following verses? Matthew 28:18-20.
And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, or age.
So what promises, what is promised here?
God is with us all the time.
He is. With us always.
We're never alone.
No, we are not. In Revelation 7,
after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne to worship God, saying, I went too far.
That's okay. It's never too far in God's word. So what is the promise here?
You just envision that. I think what the question is.
What is promised in this verse?
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to see?
Well, we're going to see the Lord.
And who's going to be at the throne?
The Lamb. The
Christ himself.
People from every tongue, tribe, and nation in heaven worshiping Jesus at the throne. Isn't that just a wonderful picture?
Yeah, and it's too bad we didn't read the rest, because it's kind of all neat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how can you respond to these promises that God is always with us and people from every tongue, tribe, and nation will be in heaven worshiping Jesus? How can we respond? How should we respond?
He's sovereign, and he controls everything, and being thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And tell others.
Tell others. Go and tell. Spread the good news of the gospel to everyone around me.
We need to claim his promises.
Mm-hmm. We need to.
He doesn't go back on them.
Right.
At all.
Mm-hmm. Hold him standing on the promises.
Yeah.
We have to know what those promises are. We have to be in his word to know what they are. So, what are your general thoughts about the present world situation? Yeah, we kind of talked about it. Yep, we can just
pray.
Pray. Yes. Pray, pray, pray.
I don't think I've ever seen so much anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So divisive. It's become a very divisive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know the enemy is very happy.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is a roaring lion.
Blame game all the time instead of taking any responsibility for their own actions.
Mm-hmm. And you can't even have a civil conversation with somebody if they believe differently than you. And that has changed over the years, don't you think? That
it got a lot worse. It started a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think Satan knows his time is getting
absolutely
short, and he's just putting forth as much power and effort as he can.
But who's in control? He is still in control. We have to keep trusting that.
Because of it, because he can cause great distress in people's minds and in the whole country.
Yes.
In our government. Our government is just
everything's to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep telling myself that.
Yes.
You know, because it doesn't seem like it sometimes, you know.
You think about your grandkids, you know.
Yeah.
I know how the world is going to be by then.
It's terrible.
Grow up.
I don't even want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You
need to remember that Satan is the defeated enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to win.
Right.
He's already lost.
He knows it, too.
He knows it, too.
Oh, yes. He's just struggling.
Mm-hmm. Getting desperate.
Mm-hmm. Did Did the truths in this chapter of God's rule over the nations, change your perspective on current events? And if so, how?
I think it's just for me, this has gone back, just understanding the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
And knowing that He is complete control. We don't understand all His ways.
Mm-hmm.
We're not meant to. We just are meant to trust.
Yep.
Still for our good and His glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just looking back at the rest of this chapter, how, you know, God had control over all the rulers. Remember, He has the king's heart in His hand. It can turn it as channels of water. And that holds true for today as well, not just, you know, in not just in Scripture, but even to today. Yeah, so I said these the truths in this chapter helps me remember again that God is sovereign, as we said. He is in control even when our world looks out of control. Helps to give me His peace that I can trust Him. But it's not easy, as you said, Donna. It is not.
You know, we were talking last night, and we were talking, I guess, about the crucifixion. We talked about a lot about a nephew of mine came over, and we were talking, and I said something about, you know, that for it is finished, Christ last. How much more that is than he's finished it, you know, he's died, you know, and he's going to, I mean, at the point of death.
Mm-hmm.
And what those three words, you know, can just mean so much, you know, like he's done, you know, he did what he could. And here we are all, you know, confused and, you know what I mean? It's just, it's an incredible phrase, meaning more than just the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that in our life group Friday night.
About, did you?
Well, not exactly that,
yeah.
But how do we look at God? What are we really seeing there? Do we really understand that, you know, we know God through His Word, we know it through the Holy Spirit, but do we know what He did, that He mm-hmm. sacrificed Himself, and He's resurrected. And that's where our basis of faith stands,
mm-hmm.
is on
mm-hmm.
the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't always grasp that, I
mm-hmm.
think.
No.
That's one of the things we brought up Friday night. And, you know, where is our heart? You know, we have a tendency, where we kind of talked about this community outreach a little bit, and why don't we go out and meet our neighbors and get to know them? We're fearful of their reaction. They're not worth our time. I don't know what to say, you know. But we're not trusting God. He gave Moses His mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't talk, he says, but God said, who gave you your mouth, you know? Mm-hmm. And he has to trust for His words to come when we need them.
Yep. Were one of you going to say something before?
I don't remember.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Well, it's hard. I think I did do something, but I just, in regard to that, though, we're just so concerned about me.
Mm-hmm.
What will they think of me?
I pray that God will help me die to self.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We need to do that.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
But that's what He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it is finished. I just think it is finished. He has defeated death. And yeah, there is a lot in those three words.
Mm-hmm.
And
amazing.
Uh-huh.
Three words.
Mm-hmm. So.
The first is the plan. The plan is finished. It's
mm-hmm.
completed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's done it all.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean
but
our work is done?
Is just the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah, like when people say, what can I do to be saved? Well, you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has already done it. It is finished. All you can do is believe and make Him Lord of your life.
You know how you see all the sayings on a
mm-hmm.
Sign or something to hang on your wall or whatever. That would be an awesome one. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that one yet.
That would be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every time you see it, you know, you think what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I have a couple sisters that this afternoon I have. Then you got the right one there. You got it.
All right, well, let's get started on our next lesson here. Lesson 5, Chapter 6. God's power over nature. So I'm on page 267 in our book. The central idea of this chapter is that God has established certain physical laws for the operation of his universe. Moment by moment, those laws operate according to his direct will. God has not walked away from the day-to-day control of his creation. Certainly, he has established physical laws by which he governs the forces of nature, but those laws continuously operate according to his sovereign will. The Bible teaches that God controls all the forces of nature, both destructive and productive, on a continuous, moment-by-moment basis. All expressions of nature, all occurrences of weather, whether it be a devastating tornado or a gentle rain on a spring day, are acts of God. Many sensitive Christians struggle over the multitude of large-scale natural disasters around the world. An earthquake in one place, famine in another, typhoons and floods somewhere else. Thousands of people are killed immediately, others slowly starve to death. Why does God allow this, we may ask? It is not wrong to wrestle with these issues as long as we do it in a reverent and submissive attitude toward God. Indeed, to fail to wrestle with the issue of large-scale tragedy may indicate a lack of compassion towards others on our part. However, we must be careful not to, in our minds, take God off of his throne of absolute sovereignty or put him in the dock and bring him to the bar of our judgment. God brings himself into these events. He said in Isaiah 45:7, "I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." God himself accepts the responsibility, so to speak, for disasters. He actually does more than accept the responsibility. He actually claims it. In effect, God says, "I and I alone have the power and authority to bring about both prosperity and disaster, both weal and woe, both good and bad." I have never heard that word weal, W-E-A-L, and I was going to look it up. Both weal and woe, so
must mean good.
We obviously do not understand why God creates disaster or why he brings it to one town and not to another. We recognize, too, that just as God sends his sun and rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous, so he also sends the tornado or the hurricane or the earthquake on both. God's sovereignty over nature does not mean that Christians never encounter the tragedies of natural disaster. Illness and physical affliction is another area in which we struggle to trust God. When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, here it is, Sandy. Moses protested his inadequacy, including the fact that he was slow of speech. God's reply to Moses is very instructive to us in this area of physical affliction. For God said, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" In Exodus 4. Here God specifically ascribes to his own work the physical afflictions of deafness, muteness, and blindness. Afflictions don't just happen. They are all within the sovereign will of God. Such a statement immediately brings us into the problem of pain and suffering. Why does a sovereign God who loves us allow such pain and heartache? Briefly, we know that all creation has been subjected to frustration because of the sin of Adam, Romans 8:20. So we can say that the ultimate cause of all pain and suffering must be traced back to the fall. God's weal and woe are not arbitrary or capricious, but his determined response to man's sin. The sovereign God who subjected creation to frustration still rules over it, pain and all. God never wastes pain, or as Pastor Kevin would say, God never wastes suffering. He always uses it to accomplish his purpose, and his purpose is for his glory and our good. Therefore, we can trust him when our hearts are aching or our bodies are racked with pain. And again, I put down, remember, just and I just for me to keep remembering, God is completely sovereign, he is perfect in love, and he is infinite in wisdom. Those are kind of the three things that Jerry Bridges brought out in the first couple chapters, and I just keep putting that in there for myself to remind myself. He is completely sovereign, he's perfect in love, and he is infinite in wisdom. So we're going to look at these next few verses and summarize in your own words what each of these verses says about God's role in natural phenomenon. And where are we at? Anne, if you would look up those verses in Job 37, 3, 6, 10 through 13, Sandy, Psalm 147, 8 and 16 through 18, Donna, Jeremiah 10, 13, and Jeremiah 14, 22. And then Carol, Amos 4, 7 to 9. We're keeping you in the Old Testament prophets there.
Thanks. It's hard to find.
Knew you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So we're looking at these verses to see what God's role is in natural phenomena. So Job 37.
He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy.
So what is God's role here in natural phenomenon?
He's the one who unleashes the lightning, sends it all over the earth. I like the language they use.
Mm-hmm.
Tells the snow to fall, rain to be a mighty, I can't read my words, to be a mighty shower, and freezes water to ice. Like you can just see him doing all these things.
He commands it all, doesn't it? Doesn't he? Lightning, snow, rain, ice, clouds, wind. But what's the purpose of it? God controls all nature for his purposes. I thought it was interesting in verse 13. Why does he say he... What is...
To punish or to water, is that what it says?
For correction, for his world, or for mercy or loving kindness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it could be for correction, but it's for his world. I mean, he provides rain, obviously, for his creation to grow and all of that, but and also his for his loving kindness. Commands it all. Psalm 147.
Who covers the heavens with clouds? Who provides rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow on the mountains? He gives to the sea. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. So he does it all. He forms the clouds. He provides the rain to make the grass grow. He gives snow and scatters frost, ice, and cold. But it's this word that melts the snow and the ice and the frost, and it causes the wind to blow to dry up the waters.
Yep, he's a sovereign provider of all, including nature. By his word, he does all of these things. And I like, like you said, the words that they use as well. Scatters, casts forth. I mean, just you can see it, picture it. Of him doing these things. Jeremiah 10?
10:13 it says, when he thunders, the waters and the heavens roar. He makes the clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Is that it?
And then 14:22.
Okay, 22. Okay, 14:22. Do any of the worthless, is that right? 14:22? Yeah. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, O Lord our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. It's like we just said, you know. He does it all.
He utters a word.
Mm-hmm. For our good.
Exactly.
From chapter 1 to chapter whatever the last one is, I can't remember right now, but the whole thing.
That's another good sign to put up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought I like that he brings out the wind from his storehouses. Mm-hmm. It's just like he just has it.
Yeah.
And he can just, with a word, just send the wind. Mm-hmm. I mean, but then I also liked in 14:22 that, you know, only the Lord our God can provide rain, but therefore we hope in thee alone. I mean, our hope is in him alone, because he is sovereign and in control, and the power and the majesty, like you said, I mean, we just can't even comprehend it. I mean, in our little minute, finite minds, just cannot even comprehend it, the majesty of God. Amos 4.
7:9. I also withhold rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. So he can withhold it or he can give it to some and not the others, you know, and it's just, having been raised on a farm, I still think about that because, you know, and even my flowers, you realize what happens to them is not, you're not in control, even if you try to water them. And
I remember seeing it rain one time in the middle of the street. And the line was perfect.
Isn't that something?
The straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Yep.
We look at that stuff, and or the world looks at it, and they think, oh, those animals are so neat, or oh, those flowers are so neat, and they don't realize that that's supposed to point us to God to show us how
the Creator.
He is. Instead, we just look at like worship the creation.
Right.
The creator,
right. Yeah, these verses reminded me too that God controls not just how much rain is to fall on the earth, but where it falls. And it brought to my mind how God knows what I need and how much of that. And Mark and I were, and this was years ago, it was probably 30 years ago because it was before we had children. We went to San Antonio, Texas, and we got to go hear Max Lucado in his church. And he spoke on Psalm 23. He was taking verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But he talked about God being our provider, but also he is my portion. So he knows how much we need. Not just he provides, but he knows how much we can handle, how much we need. And that's just a good reminder for me. And these verses reminded me of that too, of the reign of God controlling where it falls, how much, but where it falls as well.
And when,
yeah, time, exactly, yeah.
When we see some of these natural disasters, like the fires in California that are destroying acres and acres.
Millions, they're saying, of acres.
Yeah. Gulf of Mexico, and you know, people went through one, now they're going through another.
Yes, same area.
Yeah.
Just not fair.
Yeah.
Right?
Why? Yeah. But there's a plan behind it all, and we just have to trust that. So.
Mm-hmm.
I often wonder, why hasn't Mackinac ever been hit?
Mm-hmm.
It very well may come. Yeah, someday.
You know, as believers, it's hard for us sometimes to accept. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for the God's glory. Mm-hmm. But an unbeliever, can you imagine how they must feel? And the resentment even towards God.
And there are some believers who do give God the glory through it all.
Well, and some would just say, well, that's Mother Nature.
Yeah.
That's just Mother Nature.
Where'd that ever come
from? Pagan times.
I suppose.
Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And I just remember a time when he was going through some hard times with Dave and his health, and I was talking to Denny, and he said, you know, we moan and groan. Even nature moans and groans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. In Romans, yep. Yep. Waiting for all things to be restored, yes. Well, let's stop there, and we'll start in next week with question two, and our attitudes towards nature and towards the weather. So, Father, again, we just thank you for our time together, and we just thank you that we serve a sovereign God who is in control, who's in control of the nations, who's in control of nature. And, Father, we just, as we've said, it's hard to understand your ways, but your ways are above our ways and your thoughts above ours. And, Father, just help us, each one of us, to just put our trust in you and know that everything that comes our way has been sifted through your hand of sovereignty. And we just pray that we will continue to trust you, to love you, to serve you, to die to self, and make you our Lord and Savior, your Son, our Lord and Savior, and submit to his authority over us. Just thank you for your love. Thank you that you are in control, and we can trust you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We must be doing it right, Karen. I haven't got any notes lately.
I'm trying to turn this off.